You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall in situ, ready for two good events this week. We've got the Shenzhen International on the European Tour and the Valero Texas Open on the PGA Tour. First of all, a warm welcome to Dave Tindall. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. We're just trying to work out the pronunciation of this week's course in China.
we are. It's either Genzon or Genzon Golf Club.
None of us speak Mandarin.
Or something else.
Or something completely different. That's the voice of Mike Grenham. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Dave. I was jumping in there a bit early.
No, it's no problem
at all.
Let's talk about last week, first of all, before we get stuck into this week. And Brandon Grace, a frustrating winner at Hilton Head.
You mentioned him, didn't you?
Yeah. The players that I mentioned last week went very well. I had Grace and Knox and Cockerat were the three players I mentioned, if you'd listen back, because I actually did. and they finished first, second and sixth. My pick was Kirk, who was very close until he went bogey, double bogey at the end. But I suppose if you want to take it this win, there's no point being like this. But Grace had tipped at the Masters the week before and he played terribly. He putted awfully at the Masters because I watched a lot of it. He was the feature group alongside Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
And it was excruciating. I was quite embarrassed by his display to some degree. Might have been why I didn't pick him last week, because I'm sure you guys feel the same. When you tip something on the podcast and other people may have backed him, you want them to do well, don't you? And I was a bit like, I can't tip him 2 weeks on the trot if he plays like that again. So I did have a very small saver on him.
What odds was he last week?
40-1.
Was he?
It was one of those that definitely did get away.
He was bubbling into form and he was eighth here last year. So it was all there. It was all there. And in fact, a lot of the criteria that you need to be good there, a lot of the players that you'd expect played well, didn't they?
His wedge play, that
you guys picked. Yeah. Guys like that, they were all up there, weren't they, really?
It was one of those predictable leaderboards, but unfortunately we didn't predict it quite correctly last week. Although, as you mentioned, your mentions went particularly well.
If I'd have had more than one bet, I would have done all right, wouldn't I? But I didn't, so there you go. No point worrying about that.
Wedge play was fantastic in the final round and putted brilliantly throughout the course of the event as well. Maybe not the most interesting event for once, though, the PGA Tour event, because we had that cracker in Valderrama. They opened España, Dave, with the winning total over par, and that's the first time in a non-major European Tour event since 1996 when Ian Woosnam won at the Scottish Open that the winning total has been over par.
Yeah, it's always good, isn't it? You wouldn't want that every week, but to get the odd one thrown
would you?
Mike likes a challenge, doesn't he? But I like to see the odd one like that, where it's an absolute, slog fest and a war of attrition.
I'd rather that, Dave, than 30 unders, don't you? You know, or 25
unders.
Yeah,
I know what you mean, yeah.
I hear what you're saying. I mean, it's a bit too difficult. It might get a bit boring, but it's nice to see them challenging for... Yeah, I mean, par is only relative, isn't it? So, they're all over par, but were they,
par was like 70, 77 last week,
wasn't it? Yeah. So you've got to get it in context, so... I like seeing challenged.
It was a good event, and fair play to Andrew Johnson for coming out on top. I mean, there were a lot of good names. Like Garcia eventually got going, didn't he, and came just with a late run that was too late. Yus Lauten played really well. There's some big names you'd expect up
Keimer.
There. Keimer did well for a long time. Yeah. But Johnston, I can't say, was on my radar.
No, he wasn't mine either.
I had him in for my entry for the Shane Lowry lookalike contest.
Well, Pete, a lot of people said I look like him, which I think is quite disparaging,
isn't it? The beard.
Definitely the beard. Yeah. Not quite the body shape of Andrew Johnston just yet, but
he's likeable,
the way I'm going, I'm rounding into it.
He's likeable. Not to say that you're not. He's likeable.
That's where the comparison ends.
And he still looks like he's going to be a good player as well. So it was a great win for him, really, on that course, wasn't it?
And one of the good things about it, you mentioned the difficulty of the golf course, Mike, and maybe the rough around the greens was it was knee high, wasn't it? Some of the ball was going.
Yeah.
The ball was out of vision.
Did you see Pablo Larrazabal's finish? Yeah, he dropped about
a 10, didn't he?
It was just me. I think he went like treble and then a 10.
Yeah, it was halfway leader, wasn't he?
He was leader. Yeah. Well, not that he's funny for old Pablo, but it was tough, wasn't it? It was tough.
It was tough. And he hit the most fairways and greens last week, Johnston, so he deserved to win.
Absolutely.
It's that simple,
yeah.
Isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great course.
Let's get stuck into this week then, chaps, and we'll start with the Shenzhen International, which is the European Tour event. And Bubba Watson is making the trip once again to China for this tournament. He's 11-2 favourite here with William Hill. Kiradek Apibanarat is 10-1. Yous Loughton is 14s. Ross Fisher 16-1. Tommy Fleetwood is 20s. Peter Uihlein 22s. Alexander Levy and Pablo Larrazabal and Victor Dubuis on all 25-1. And it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. This course hosted the China Open in 2014, Dave, before hosting this event last year. And it's a 7,145-yard par 72, four par fives, four par threes, and the rest par fours.
You do the maths. Yeah.
Did you?
None of them par sixes.
None of them par sixes. Yeah. Did you think of anything statistically that stood out when looking at this event?
Well, I did notice the yardages on the par fives are all short. Normally in these China events, you get one about 670 yards. And you think, well, that's kind of, it's just everyone's a three-shotter. But I like the ones where it does, you know, pay to have a bit of length and you at least go for it in two, or some of the field can. But all these ones are quite short, the par fives. So I did look at par five scoring. Apibanarat was 8 under for the par fives last year, and he won with minus 12, so that was a good percentage. 66% of his score was made there. Kiros was 12 under on the par fives last year and finished back at 8 under, so you can get it though. So I think that's part of my strategy. It's a bit of room off the tee and you can attack the par fives. That would, although it's not, I don't think it's silly easy, as it Mike mentioned, minus 30. It got harder last year. Minus 12 winning scores are fair. You know, we see that every
week.
It's
a fair test, isn't it?
On the PGA Tour. Yeah. I think 19 when Levy won it, the China Open. I think everyone who played in Valderrama last week will sort of breathe out a little bit and just sort of enjoy the spaces.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think driving distance, if you can hit it straight and on a good long way, by all accounts, it's the thing to do. And that's what it seemed the last couple of years.
Yeah, we've got kind of a mix, haven't we? It's not the be all and end all if you're not really bombing it out there.
No, you're not. You're absolutely right. It's a little bit of a, but I think both tournaments this week are quite tricky to identify exactly. Really, really strong criteria. So, but if I was to pick one here, it probably would be driving distance, I think.
Have you got a pick?
No.
Mr. Tindall?
One pick.
Yeah, I've got one pick as well. I'll let you lead us off here.
It's not very original. Obviously, we've had two events played at this course. One of them was won by Alexander Levy, so I'm going to pick him.
Okay.
Quite simply. He jumped to my thinking, jumped to the front of my mind last week when he was first round leader in Valderrama, because I thought, well, that's not his sort of course, is it, at all?
No.
And then he came back well at the end with a round, was he shooting the sixes, I think, in the final day? But he came back well at the end.
Don't know, you're picking him.
Come on, me. Sort it out. He came back well on the last day to get in the top 20. And I just, you know, when someone plays well on a course, you don't think they'll do well.
I do like that, yeah.
I always think it counts for
course.
A good amount, that. And as soon as you can get them on a good course for them, and this clearly is, he won it 2014 China Open. Slightly disappointing last year, but he was still 25th last year, which was a decent enough effort. I just think this is a course for him. We saw him finish runner-up in Perth not so long back as well. So I think he's a player who's coming back into form, plays well in China, obviously, we've seen. And it's hard. I mean, looking at Bubba was at his best. He could walk away with it and you could have him in at like 11-4, couldn't you?
He's one of those players, though, Mike, isn't he, Bubba, where you want him on a course where he's performed well in the past.
And
don't
he didn't
really?
Here, did he? Shot tied 29th here last year, and that was with a close.
He did get the hang. Yeah, he did get the hang
Very
of it
good
on Sunday,
yeah. Didn't he? Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe that's a precursor of things to come. We just don't know, do we?
But it was funny.
I wouldn't be taking a short prize on Bubba anywhere.
He was off at
just
the mass,
I made my mind up on it. I want at least 20-1 on Bubba, because there's so many other factors. As brilliant as he is,
yeah.
He just gets out of bed one morning and feels the wrong way, or just says something, and then he's off, isn't he? So it's
yeah, I agree.
I like the two. I think you can let him run at that, can't you?
If you're a massive
Bubba, him in running if he's going well, maybe, you know.
Yeah, if you're a massive Bubba fan, you could say, well, he's won the HSBC in China, and that's designed by the same fella, I think Neil Howarth, as this course.
Yep.
So if he's on, he's on. But like Mike says, taking short prices on him isn't that clever, is it?
There are players like Spieth, who you know are going to pretty much perform pretty consistently when they're that price. But you couldn't say that for all Bubba's strengths that consistency is one of them, could you?
No.
And he does tend to perform very well at the same tracks. You know, as Dave
said.
So
he's got nothing here.
He's got nothing to speak of here.
So Levy for me, I just thought 25s was just about enough to make him a play for me.
Good stuff. Alexander Levy, 25-1 for Dave.
This is a bit of a pick, Dave. Yeah. I've just read who you picked.
I'm taking a shot with Miguel Angel Jimenez this week at 80-1. I know that this course is vastly different to the course that he won on in Hong Kong four times, but he does like playing in Asia. He's won seven times on the Asian Tour, and four of those have come in Hong Kong, which is, of course, the neighbouring...
It's quite near, isn't it?
It's very near.
I looked at my map of China and thought, oh, look, it's quite near Hong Kong.
And of course, he isn't. Yeah, it is near Hong Kong. Of course, he is an outsider here, and rightly so, but I found it I struggled to pick between those at the top of the betting, and I thought 80-1 was worthwhile on a guy that's won on the Champion Tour recently, won the Mississippi Gulf Resort Classic, and then finished last week's event, the Mitsubishi Well, 68-67, I think he finished with.
Yeah.
Started slowly. But he's made comment in the lead-up to this event of how much he enjoys playing in this part of the world, and he thinks he'll take to the golf course. So I'm willing to give him a shot at 80-1 this week, Miguel Angel Jimenez.
Just a little worry about distance maybe, Dave, as he gets older, but
he's got the rest of it, hasn't he? I did think about driving distance, but there were quite a few people up there last year that, for instance, Marco Crespi and David Howell, just looking at your screen in front of you there, Mike, and that don't really get it out there amazing distances and still competed. No,
it is a bit of a mixed bag, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'll take Miguel Angel Jimenez as my pick at 80-1, and hopefully he can replicate that form from quite a few years ago now in Hong Kong.
Yeah,
very good.
Who was on your list, Mike?
Nico Ilinen would have been closest, Dave. He was eighth here in 2014. He's 50-1. He's not absolutely firing on all cylinders, and he's not the longest either, which probably was one thing that's pushing me up. But I'll be watching him in running. Started the outsiders, so a relatively bigger price, so I might as well stick with him. Lee Slatter, who was fourth in Qatar not so long ago, he's 150-1 here. Now, he's not very long off the tee either, but he seems to have crashed down the odds quite quickly.
Yeah.
Michael Howie's in dreadful form, 150-1, but was eighth here in 2014, and he's just one of those guys who could win out of the blue. He's kind of like that, isn't he? He doesn't need to be in great form to all of a sudden perk up. At the top of the betting, Uline and Fleetwood look strong, but they're very short prices for me.
I think Fleetwood is the right price, though. I think he's got
second and third.
Yeah, he's got such solid credentials. Yeah. And
good play last week.
Very well.
Well,
yeah, played very well last week. And Willett and Johnston both winning recently. Could definitely inspire him. Fleetwood.
I read some stuff on Twitter.
It's a hot
today,
topic on Twitter, isn't it, at the moment? Now, I think it happens. 20-1, Tommy Fleetwood, maybe to win this event.
Yeah,
Lucas Gerrigard, he heats it mild, doesn't he? 50s, maybe not bad. So there's quite. I'll definitely be having a look at this in running, but because there's a number of those guys that you know make some appeal. Ilinen was closest, so I guess
Scott Hend is another one possibly at 50s who can win on the right track.
Good work, can't he? Yeah,
put him on the wrong track, he can look dreadful and shoot 70s and 80s. But this should be his sort of track.
Yeah.
Let's get stuck into the Texas Open then. The Valero Texas Open is this week's PGA Tour event, and Jimmy Walker is the 14-1 favourite for the tournament. Brandon Grace in the betting at 18-1. Brooks Koepka, Matt Kuchar, Patrick Reed and Zach Johnson all 20s. JB Holmes is 22-1, 25-1 and bigger the rest. Generally speaking, Mike, there's little respite for the players as the tour moves from Hilton Head to TPC San Antonio, because in the past this has been pretty difficult for the players. This course has hosted the last six editions of this tournament, and the winning score has ranged from 8-under to 14-under. Maybe the 2013 edition has to be treated with a little bit of scepticism, because that was played the week before the Masters.
Oh, yeah, so they changed it to replicate
conditions at Augusta, so scoring was a little bit easier.
Yeah, that's right. That was the 14-under, Dave. Yeah, it's a hard one, this one, isn't it? Again, possibly the criteria I was looking at more than any other was strokes tee to green, but No one really jumped out of the pack. I don't even make it look like I haven't had a look at any of this week. I'm not going to bet in this one either. I've studied them both for ages, to be fair, and got quite a long list of contenders, but no one really... I couldn't quite get my head around exactly what the best fit of a player was, but it's hard to get on the greens here, isn't it? And then when you do, you've got to put like a demon.
Last year was brutal as well, wasn't it? Yeah. We had that big draw bias last year, and the
that's
wind
a
was,
worry as well.
Yeah, the wind was blowing the flag sideways. I don't think we're going to get that looking at the weather forecast this year.
Well, we're here Tuesday, Dave, aren't we? Tuesday, just after, well, nearly 4 o'clock in the afternoon UK time. So the weather forecasts, I always like them the day before myself, because I think they do vary a little bit. They get less and less unreliable. Unreliable is the wrong word. They get more accurate the closer you get. So I'm going to say bets for in running and maybe even for Thursday morning UK time before it starts. I just want to see what... Because there's been some really big biases in the start times and the shots that people can... have saved in one section versus the other, isn't it? And you don't want to be going into a tournament with a 3 or 4 shot penalty.
There is a fly in the ointment this year as well, because Texas is... the weather at Texas is different from usual. You'd expect this course to be set up fast, fiery and firm, and the greens
it's
to be quick.
Had a bit of rain,
They've had a heck of a lot of rain, and it's. I think it's going to play quite soft this year, which changes the dynamic of the golf tournament entirely.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there, Dave. Two big things that just made me want to hang on a bit. The draw biases that have been quite pronounced, and then the weather is... The course is going to be different, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the constant with Texas, it's going to be windy, isn't it? You always get wind on some level, which sort of helps me.
I think Sunday is going to definitely be windy.
Mm.
I just wonder whether we'll have the same sort of conditions Thursday, Friday and Saturday that we're used to in Texas, because the advanced weather forecast suggests not, so
it
remains to be seen, really.
But then again, by a day or two, it might change, so that's my point, really. Yeah.
Have you got a pick in this event?
I've got one, yeah.
What were you looking at, first of all, just before? Were you looking at anything statistically? Mike mentioned that it is a difficult tournament to get a handle on from that perspective.
Yeah, I did start by looking at the sort of top. It's quite cramped, isn't it? There's not very often you get down to maybe like the 12th person in the bet and you've still only got to 25-1.
Yeah.
So, oh, look, it seemed much of a muchness at the front. I mean, you've got people like Bryson DeChambeau being thrown in at 25s. And Charlie Hoffman at 25s, well, you can't really trust them at those prices yet, can you?
No, I think DeChambeau, because he led the...
66 last week.
Yeah, and he led the field in strokes game 2 to green on his debut at
Hilton
Head.
It's a great debut, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, for his first professional start.
But he's certainly... You couldn't argue that he's not been found by the market, could you?
No, exactly. he looks
and then Kuchar
on the short side.
Yeah, Kuchar's just sort of whatever, 20-1.
You tipped him last week, eh?
Yeah.
Bloody hell, you're a bit fickle.
Yeah,
he was disappointing.
One week?
He was disappointing. He did what Matt Kuchar
top 10
does.
On
he plotted, ninth, him, plotted his way around, didn't he?
He never got... He started well and then just sort of slowly sort of drifted away.
Well, I backed him. I don't think I tipped him in the Masters, did, but that's how he played in the Masters, I thought. I was watching him and again he was like... Oh.
I just thought on that course he might be able to hold
Kuchar's
it
made
together,
another par.
Yeah, that's all like exactly the same.
It's
so
just a bit flat, isn't he?
I don't think his irons are quite as dialed in. And
are you going away from the top of the market then, Dave? Is that what you're saying here?
Yes. I mean, I think 4 of the 6 run-ins, we've had big price winners, or certainly not in the leading bunch anyway. I think Adam Scott must have been a short-ish price. I think he was bigger than you might think. When Jimmy Walker, when he won it last year.
Yeah.
Again, he was possibly bigger than you might think, but they were kind of top-end players, but we've had some funny ones, haven't we, in between?
Yeah, Stephen Bowditch was the one that stands
Although
out
Although he
to
actually helped me come to my pick.
Have you just got one pick?
Yeah.
I've got two, so I'll lead off here. I'm going with Phil Mickelson as my number one selection.
Good job I didn't diss him then.
At 25-1. Well, when you were going through the top end of the market, I thought he's bound to get to mine eventually and slag him off, but he's not, which is good news. It was a toss-up between him and JB Holmes for me at the prices, but with Phil Mickelson being the bigger of the two, I've plumped with Mickelson, and I know his performance at the Masters was slightly disappointing, and that's bound to be referenced.
Just a bit.
He lost it, didn't he? He was bang there in the second round. He was bang there going to the standing on the 7th tee, wasn't he? Basically, and he completely capitulated.
He did. Yeah. Well, he wasn't Mickelson. The only one. Was he?
He wasn't the only
and
one.
And as we've seen with Brandon Grace, it might not matter.
Yeah, and precisely. That's
Grace
a very
played
good point.
Worse than Mickelson did, Augusta, let me tell you.
I think that means he's overpriced in this field. You look at those names ahead of him in the betting. You've just mentioned two, Bryson DeChambeau and Charlie Hoffman. Are they more likely to win this event than...
No.
than Phil Mickelson than not, are they?
It's a little while since he's won, David, yeah, but he retains a lot of ability, doesn't he?
He has won everywhere in his career, including in Texas as well. So he's got good wins in this state before. And prior to that meltdown at the Masters, he was playing superbly well.
Yeah.
He had three top tens in eight starts on tour, tied for 13th place the week before the Masters in the Houston Open. And look at his stats. He ranks 11th in strokes gained tee to green, 8th in strokes gained putting this season. So his game is in good working order. I think the softer conditions will be a real benefit to him. And his course form doesn't unduly concern me. He fell away last year to finish 30th when his chance had gone. Typical Mickelson fourth round performance, really, when he was out of contention. Doesn't concern me much. I think he's the one that is overpriced in the market. 25-1, Phil Mickelson, my pick.
Very good.
Go on then, Dave.
Yeah, so we mentioned Bowditch before. I always look to the Aussies in these events because you get so many Aussie winners. I mean, the match play moved to Texas this year. Well, lo and behold, I mean, obviously Jason Day is the world number one. So that's the other string to his bow, as well as being an Aussie. But we've had loads of winners. Three of the last eight at the Byron Nelson, like 5 of 17 at Colonial, I think. There's just lots and lots of Aussie winners in these events. And to be honest, this particular Aussie had fallen off the radar. I think Mike has been tracking him more than I have. Aaron Baddeley.
Oh, yeah, I'd give him there. He was my best outsider last week.
Yeah.
In fact, he finished 15th, I think.
He came in the top 10.
Did he finish in the top 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my... Later on, we went on to outsiders, and I said he was my best outsider, so...
So I know Mike had mentioned him, then I looked...
Yeah, he was on my mind this week as well, Dave, to be fair.
So he played well last week. Mm. Two starts before, he'd also been top 10 in Puerto Rico, which is another sort of windy location, par 72.
Yep.
You go back a little bit further, and you'll find more top 10s from Baddeley. I read through a few of his quotes, and he's saying, I'm really pleased with the way I'm hitting it. Obviously, we think of him as a putter, don't we? He's like a brilliant putter, which is a big thing, I think, in this event as well.
Yeah.
I think Rob Bolton put that four of the last six winners have been in the top five for strokes gained putting.
Yeah, right. They will have been it. Putting's really important.
Yeah. And I just did a quick check to see, because obviously you think of him as a great putter. Sometimes you think of people and you look at, oh, he's 175th. He's ninth in strokes gained putting.
Yeah, he's top 10. Yeah.
So he's doing everything right for me. He's in form. Final check, he likes the course. He's been third here before on debut. He was second at halfway a couple of years ago and fell away. But he's got three top 20s in four starts here. It is a course he really likes. Aussie, in form, likes the course, putts great. I thought 66-1. You have to sort of train yourself to not go, oh, that all. Sometimes you think, because he's not been on your radar, you're thinking he's hundreds or something.
Yeah,
I think he was last week, wasn't he? He might even have been 125 last week. But
you can't really... But expect
happens,
too much, can you?
No.
A guy who's had two top tens in his last three starts.
Yeah.
I think if you start getting people out at 40s or something, but 66 is okay, and I'm going to have a point each way.
Yeah, he was on my list, Dave. Yeah. Absolutely, for everything you've said, and I'll be keeping an eye on him and running massively, because if he gets his iron game going, if he's hitting the greens with regularity, he's putting that well, he'll definitely be in the mix there. So he was on my list of players, definitely.
He just needs to produce average. average stats from tee to green, doesn't he? Because when he gets in and around those greens,
yeah, he's good. Good scrambler as well.
Electric.
Good scrambler as well as a putter. So
yeah, short game's fantastic.
No, I would. He's very high on my list.
You know what puts me off those Aussies this week? I just don't know if the golf course is going to be set up the same way as a traditional Texas golf course. When we're talking about the weather earlier, if it does play like if it is target golf this week and it's completely different from a usual Texas event, that sort of negates the. The Australian factor, doesn't it, to a certain extent?
Possibly, although they can win on other courses. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But, I mean, sometimes you get a bit freaked with... All these courses dry out fast, don't they, I always think.
Yeah. I hope it does, because I'd like it'd be good to get a traditional Texas Open this year.
Mm.
My second pick, I'm just taking a small chance with Luke List at 100-1.
I looked at him.
I literally then nearly said he was on my list. Yeah. And it wasn't a gag, but I nearly said it, because he was.
I had a good look at him.
This is
comedy. It's comedy genius.
This is good news, then, isn't it, for 100-1 shot?
Yeah, no, he was. He was a little bit older than I thought he was.
Yeah,
when
31,
I
isn't he?
Yeah,
yeah.
I had him down as being a bit of a kid.
Yeah. It's weird because he's not really realised that potential, because he finished second behind Ryan Moore in the 2004 US Amateur and then came on tour in 2013, didn't cut the mustard, and Had a couple of years back on the web.com tour, but it looks like he's going to regain his card this time.
Oh, yeah, he's playing a lot better.
He's playing a hell of a lot better. He missed 6 of his first 8 cuts this season, but contended in the career builder in that spell where he finished tied 6th behind Jason Duffner. Since then, he's only missed 1 of his last 6 cuts, and he's posted top 30 finishes in 4 of those events as well. He's got a bit of experience at TPC San Antonio, and that tie for 46th here in 2013 for him was a good finish. you look through his form in 2013. Mm. There were a heck of a lot more missed cuts than there were made cuts.
A lot of pressure in that, isn't it? You're desperate to save your card and things. Yeah,
I think that's what happened to him. And they say that once you've had the experience first time around, it helps you next time. And it's definitely helped him. And he'll enjoy the golf course if it plays long. He ranks 11th in driving distance. And he's a pretty impressive 38th in strokes gained tee to green as well. Should take advantage of the par fives on this layout. And I thought he was worth a shot at a triple figure price.
Yeah.
So Luke List, 100-1. Just play him half a point each way.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, he was on the list. Oh, God, I actually did say I'm not. That wasn't a joke again.
Who else?
I'm not kidding there either.
Who else was on the list, Mike?
Oh, dear. Who else was on? Well,
honourable mentions, because Chris did so well last week.
Chris Kay, honourable mentions. Right, I better pick only a couple of these.
There's a player called Chris Honourable.
Chris Honourable, yeah, Mr. Mention. Chris Kirk was 8th in 2015. He played ever so well last week until the final two holes where he went bogey double and crashed down the leaderboard a bit. If I was to pick anyone, though, I might go for John Hur, 100-1.
Okay.
Second in 2012. They'd be my main two. I've got a couple of other little outsiders. I think Andre Loop, I don't know how you say it. He was 4th in 2014. He's been playing sneaky good. I could see him having a good week here. And a more experienced player, Freddie Jacobson, has some old form here as well. They'd be about the guys, but her and Kirk were the closest, I think.
Chris Kirk in the betting at 40-1, and
Kirk's just a bit
John
short
Hur,
at 40-1. I would have liked a bit more than that. I think our compilers have got him short this week at that. If he was bigger, I'd be tempted. And the other one who was 40-1, who was a bit short, is Kevin Chappell. He's playing well as well.
Yeah, he would be on my mind this week.
This is why I haven't had a bet, because I've just fancied too many players, I think. So no one was actually going, bet me.
And then with the weather forecast, you can save you can save your stakes.
Save your stakes. See what the draw's like. See what the weather's like. That's my plan.
40-1, Kevin Chappell. Just a couple that I want to quickly mention before we get yours, Dave, as the honourable mentions. Russell Henley was on my mind at 40-1. And I'm convinced that Billy Horschel is on the way back as well. Billy Horschel is 25-1.
There's another in there. Mm-hmm.
Which is too short, isn't it, I think? Yeah. But
he's got a couple of third places here, hasn't he?
And he's made 8 straight cuts now as well. Mm. He's bubbling under to use one
he's
of your
bubbling under, but he's been found a bit, hasn't he?
The handicap has got him, hasn't he? Yeah. Basically there.
Here, they've spotted it, haven't they? Yeah.
Dev?
Yeah, I did quite. Again, he's just a little bit too short. JB Holmes, I know you said he was close for you.
Yes, he was.
I mean, plenty of good form earlier in the season. Had a couple of top sixes and then a couple of top 11s. Then that, but that fourth place at Augusta National, which was his best finish in a major, I thought that's got to kick him on, hasn't it? A lot of confidence. He's had a couple of decent knocks here, a couple of top 15s. So it wouldn't be at all surprising if he went really well. A bit further down, Will McKenzie has played nicely. Played another guy who finished top 10 in Puerto Rico, which has got some good links with this course in terms of it being windy. He's had some nice form recently and has played well on the course before.
He's 125-1, by the way, Will McKenzie.
Yeah, so that's a decent price. Grace, I couldn't quite work out Grace whether he'll have his win and then. Because obviously
he can run up wins.
Yeah, he's won back-to-back, hasn't he, on the European Tour?
I'd fancy him more than Walker, wouldn't you?
I think he should be favourite, Brandon Grace, this week.
I'd be tempted to agree with that. He was exceptional on the Sunday, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he won 4 times, didn't he, in that 2011 series. And Mike says a back-to-back as well. So he's someone who, once they're hot, he's just sort of someone who, I don't know, I like to be on him. You know, sometimes players you back and you think, but when you're on him, you know you've got a proper runner and he's going
to... We were saying that, weren't we, Mike? If you wanted one guy to close over the last 9 holes, he'd be behind the list anyway.
Like an assassin on Sunday, wasn't he? Just picking him off. Yeah. Just every shot was bang on the money, So,
but 18-1, maybe, but...
I couldn't believe JB Holmes, by the way, as well, had finished tied 4th at the Masters.
Yeah, he did,
We didn't barely saw him in the coverage, did we?
No, he had a very good final round. Good final round. He just sneaked in.
Okay, let's.
Did you notice just before you go on, Dave, that how well Ernie Els putted last week?
Yeah, I know.
Remarkably,
it's
after
amazing,
Augusta.
Wasn't it?
What mental strength does that take? Fantastic, isn't it? At his age, to bounce back from what was a real horror show.
Yeah.
You know, it's uncomfortable almost, wasn't it? And then I think it was the top of Stroke's game, but he was right up there anyway, wasn't
he? I think he was number one over the weekend and yeah. top 15 for the week.
Great, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which was unbelievable.
100-1 this week.
I don't fancy him this week, but I'm just impressed by his.
It was fantastic.
Might have focused him, maybe. Might see better shows from Ernie.
He changed
forward.
His putter as well, didn't he?
Did he?
I think so. Yeah. I think he changed his putter. So
you would never have said that, would you, after Augusta?
You hope that week's not an aberration, because it's something that putting's quite. If you do struggle, it can be ingrained. And would you be more inclined to think that's an aberration or that's a complete turnaround?
I'm hoping it's a bit of a turnaround.
I am as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. He's had his ups and downs with it, hasn't he, for a number of years. So it's the sort of thing you can come back from. Bernard Lang has had the yips and won the Masters. So sort of history does show that you can come back from it. It's not a sort of fatal affliction.
Yeah. Okay, chaps, the player you don't want to win then, Mike.
I've not got a player I don't want to win because I'm going to keep my in-play options on. And
I'll be
going on Twitter if when I have bets and it. Maybe have a couple of bets. So I don't want to put the curse on anyone at this stage.
Mine's JB Holmes then, I think.
Yeah, mine is
22
as well.
To 1.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. We'll both go with JB there. Do follow us on Twitter. Mike will be putting his bets up in running this week. It's at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. Just recap the selections just before you leave us. Dave, your picks?
Yeah, so in Texas, point each way, Aaron Baddeley at 66. And then in the Shenzhen, point and a half each way, Alexander Levy at 25s.
I'm going a point each way, Miguel Angel Jimenez at 80-1 in the Shenzhen International. And in Texas, point each way, Phil Mickelson 25-1, half a point each way, Luke List at 100-1. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter. We've mentioned those addresses. And make sure you check us out on audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. And remember, you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes as well. Do it. Good luck with your bets in the Shenzhen International and the Valera Texas Open here with William Hill this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.